preacher, when they stand in the pulpit, we say we want to follow the Spirit of God, but you know, if you spent time planning and preparing and you think you've got a message, sometimes it's kind of tough to stand up and change your thoughts and go a different direction. But I trust that the Lord will help us do that this morning, because I really feel at this time that I need to go back to a message that I was going to preach last week. I will give you what I was going to preach this morning. We sang a song about America and this land of liberty, and my subject this morning was going to be liberty, the theme of the gospel. And truly, that is the theme of the gospel, and if God leads us that way at another time, we'll pick that up. But this morning, I want to talk about the liberties, or not the liberties, but the blessings that we have and that I have this morning. I'd like to take a reading from the 32nd chapter of Psalms. It's not a very long psalm. I think I'm going to read the whole psalm and see where it goes from there. This psalm opens up with the words of David saying, "Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. When I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into drought of summer. I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. For this shall every one that is godly pray unto thee in a time when thou mayest be found. Surely in the floods of great waters they shall not come nigh unto him. Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eyes." Let me just say that there's a change of person speaking in that verse. It changes from David speaking to God now speaking to David. And God is saying to David, "I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. Be ye not as the horse, or as the mule, which have no understanding, whose mouth must be held in with a bit and bridle, lest they come near unto thee. Many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he that trusteth in the Lord, mercy shall compass him about. Be glad in the Lord, and rejoice, ye righteous, and shout for joy, all ye that are upright in heart." That is truly a psalm of blessing. And those who can read this psalm, and in those particular first two verses, can say with David that I am blessed because that my transgression is forgiven and my sin is covered, and that the Lord imputeth not iniquity to me. Those who can say that from their heart are truly blessed. And that's the first thing that I would like to say this morning, is that I am thankful that the Lord saved my soul when I was 13 years old and blessed me by forgiving my transgressions and not imputing my iniquities to me. And we can often wonder, how wicked could a person be at 13 years old? Well, certainly not as wicked as you can be at 68 years old, and except the Lord had changed me, and except the Lord had saved me, I can guarantee you that my wickedness would have continued to mount it. It would have continued to be great, and would continue to be more than I would ever been able to bear. But at 13 years old, the Lord came into my heart, saved my soul, and forgave my iniquities, and took that burden off of me. That's what David is saying happened to here. He said, "When I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all day long." That's the way I was when I was under the conviction and the load of sin. My bones waxed and roared. I felt that. And in that pain and that sorrow, is when I cried out to the Lord. And when I cried out to the Lord, He heard my cry. And I'm so thankful for that this morning. I have many things in life to be thankful for. I have many things in which that I can truly say that I am blessed. But that is the greatest blessing this morning. I have many things, and perhaps the Lord will help me to enumerate those things, and you can identify with them as well in your life. But that is the most important thing. All of the other things in this life will pass away. Time will eventually take all of the possessions that God has allowed me and blessed me to accumulate. And time will eventually destroy this old body. You already recognized part of it this morning as I can't recall names like I used to. I function with what we often call the little bit of dementia or a little bit of old age. Can't recall. It gets worse. I know it gets worse. I can tell into my own life and in my own thinking. Many of us have seen those that we love suffer through that to where that their minds are completely gone. That's the nature of this life. But that spiritual life that is within me that that God put there when He saved me when I was 13 years old, that life, as Paul said, is renewed day by day. And it will never die. Jesus said, I come to give you eternal life. That's in opposition to the temporary life that we have in this body. He says that I will give you a life that will never pass away. And folks, the older that we get, and the more sorrows and troubles that we encounter in this life, and as we go along our way, we realize how blessed we are if God has saved our soul. If God has not saved you this morning, if you're in that lost condition, you need to seek the Lord that you might have that blessed assurance in your heart that come what may, that all is at peace with God. As it says down here a little bit further, thou art my hiding place, thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance. I can tell you for an assurity that as you go through life, you will encounter troubles. You will encounter sorrows. That is just the way of this life. But the greatest trouble that you will encounter is that when you come to the realization that you are separated from God and that without Him you have no peace, that you are constantly troubled from that, and if you don't deal with it in this life while that time allows you an opportunity to do so, the greatest trouble that you will face is when that you stand before God in judgment. And He asked you that question, why did you refuse? Why did you turn away from the great salvation that I offered you in the pardon and the forgiveness of your sins? But you refused that. You rejected my offer through my Son Christ Jesus that came into the world and died that He might forgive your transgression. Why did you turn your back on that? And the only answer that you can have is that I refused it and that my transgressions and iniquities are still upon me. And that's when God will say to you, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you. I never had a relationship with you. I never had an intimate knowledge of you. You never came to me. You never allowed me to take away that sorrow and that burden and to instill my peace. That is a great trouble and sorrow. My prayer is that you will not pass through this life into eternity without coming to a knowledge of Jesus Christ in your personal life. And that is the greatest blessing that you will have. And that's why that when we stand to thank God for what He's done for us, that ought to be the first thing that comes to our lips, is that thank you, Lord, for the salvation of my soul and all that flows from that. And there is much that does flow from that. And so I am thankful most of all for that. I am thankful to God the Father, who before He ever created man and put him in the Garden of Eden and knew that man was going to sin, which He did know that. Adam didn't fool him. He knew that Adam was going to transgress. But God's love was so great for the man that he created that before he ever spoke the world into existence and before the time ever started, that God had a plan to redeem the man and that plan was from the foundation of the world that he might redeem man back to him. And he had me on his mind, I believe, when all that happened, because nothing fools God. Nothing is a surprise to God. He knew the kind of person that I would be. He knew that when I got to be old enough to come to an age of accountability, that I would choose to follow my own will and that I would reject him. He knew all of that. And yet, in spite of that, he put the plan in place. And when the fullness of time was come, he himself came into this world, incarnate into human flesh, that he might redeem me personally back to him through the death of his son, Jesus Christ. I am thankful for that. And it is something that I pray that I will always be able to acknowledge to those who are about me, even when my mind is gone and I come down to that period in life when that I may end up in that nursing home and not even know my own name. I hope that I will not forget to tell others that God has saved my soul. And even if I can't tell them who I am, that I can tell them who He is and what He will do for them. And so I am thankful for all of that that was in play and all of that that has come to pass. But you know, along that pathway, there were those all along the way. We're recorded in this book right here, many of them, our spiritual ancestors, those who, in spite of the sin that was in the environment in which they lived, in spite of the natural tendency of the flesh to go toward the carnal things, in spite of the fact that the great enemy of God and the enemy of the souls of man, Satan as we know him, was there to try to deceive them and pull them away, many of them believed in God and trusted God. I am thankful for Noah, who when God looked down here upon the antediluvian world, and it says that his heart was grieved that he'd even created man because of the iniquity that abounded throughout all of civilization, and yet Noah found grace in the eyes of God. And I'm thankful for Noah, who, moved by fear of God, built an ark to the saving of his own family, because they are our spiritual ancestors. I'm thankful to him. I'm thankful to Abraham. To Abraham, who lived in Mesopotamia, where that they worshiped idols and where that they worshiped many gods. They were polytheistic. They believed in many gods. And yet none of those gods had any power. None of those gods were able to save the soul. And yet Abraham, in spite of all of that, believed in the one true and living God. And he got up from that land of Ur of the Chaldees, and he followed God all the way out, not knowing where he was going, but trusting and believing in God. And God was Abraham's friend. And he promised Abraham that through him, through you, Abraham, and the child which I will give you. And Abraham was an old man. His wife Sarah was past the age of childbearing. She was unable through the natural function to have a child. And yet God had said to Abraham, I am going to give you a child, and through him all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. I was going to be one of those in the nations of the earth. And Abraham believed God. In spite of the fact that his wife Sarah was past childbearing age, and yet God brought a child into the world through Sarah and Abraham, that child Isaac was one of our spiritual ancestors. I'm thankful that this book that we gave to Haley, at least I remembered your name, Haley. I might forget it here in another day or so. But I'm thankful that God recorded those facts in this book for me, that I might know that there have been those who lived before me that believed the Word of God, that trusted in God. They had trouble and sorrow in their life. They had times when they had family problems. They had times when they had economic problems. They had times when they had sickness. And yet through it all, there were times when they were greatly persecuted by their neighbors and their countrymen. We've never had to endure that here in America to this point. And we have many freedoms that we'll talk about in a moment. But these men and women believed God, and they were our spiritual ancestors. They kept alive to the next generation the knowledge of the single God, one God, who was all powerful and had already designed a plan to redeem man from his sin. They kept that alive. They passed it down from generation to generation. Abraham taught Isaac. Isaac taught Jacob. Jacob taught his 12 sons. And if you read the stories of their lives many times, and those stories are wonderful to read. I can tell you that before there were ever such things as novels and science fiction and many of the books that occupy our time, these stories that are in this book right here, they're real people with real lives that lived and walked and breathed and loved and many times died for the love that they had for God. I'm thankful that those things were recorded for us that we might know and that many have passed that on down. And it went from generation to generation. And we can read and follow the thread. We can follow the thread of God as He dealt with each and every generation. We can follow it through all the five books of the law as God revealed it to Moses. We can follow it through the book of Joshua as they went into the land that God had promised them after delivering them out of Egypt. We can follow how that Moses was under the curse of Pharaoh, and how that Pharaoh had already declared to have all the male children killed, and yet Moses' mother believed God. She believed God that this little child that she held in her hand was somebody special. And she loved God, and she believed God, and she put her own life in jeopardy that she might preserve His life. And you know the story of how that Moses was put in the bulrushes and rescued by Pharaoh's daughter and raised to be set on the throne, perhaps, in Egypt. And yet he rejected all of the worldly things and all of the power and all of the things that would have come with his position as the adopted son of Pharaoh. And he rejected all that, counting it greater to be among his own brethren, the people of God. And so he left all of those things and he wandered in the wilderness for nearly 40 years. And then God spoke to him and said, Moses, I've got a job for you to do. Go back into Egypt and deliver my people out of there. They've been there 400 years. And Moses believed God. And he went back there, and through the power of God, the whole nation of Israel was delivered out of there. I believe that story. I believe it. And it's recorded for us. It was passed down from generation to generation. I can identify with Moses. I can feel the same God move in my heart that he felt move in his heart. I haven't seen a burning bush. But I saw my sins, and I saw the holiness of God through the help of the Holy Spirit, and I saw that without God that I was going to perish. And so Moses' God became my God. And Moses didn't know where Jesus was going to be born. He didn't know all of the details that we know now looking back, and we know them because God recorded them for us and kept them for us that we might pass them down. But Moses still believed the promise of God, and that promise that had been made to Abraham 400 years earlier was that I will bring one into the world that will bless all nations. Moses believed that. Now, perhaps Moses' mother thought that Moses was going to be the one. I don't know. They were very much not as well informed as we are because we're looking backwards and they were looking forward. But believe me, the trust that's required in the heart to trust God, that's what he's looking for, and it hasn't changed from the time that Noah believed God and Abraham believed God and Moses believed God, Joshua believed God, David believed God, the one who wrote the psalm that we read, he went through a similar experience that Danny Chandler went through when he was 13 years old. He got under the same conviction of the hand of God weighed upon him. He felt the weight of his sins weighing him down. He found trouble and sorrow. He couldn't rest at night. He was unable to function. And he desired to have this weight lifted off of him. And when he called out to God, God responded and lifted that weight, saved his soul, gave him peace in his heart. Now, was David a perfect man? We know that he wasn't. We know that David sinned. We know that David transgressed and did many things. And yet God said that that David had a heart that was after God. And yet we find that he had all the same failings that we had. But you know what? In David's heart, he loved God and he wasn't afraid to repent. He wasn't afraid to come to God and say, God, I've sinned. I've done wrong. Would you forgive me? Because he loved God and God loved him. And I had that same knowledge that no matter how much I fail, I can go back to God and ask God's forgiveness and my iniquities will not be imputed to me. That is a great thing. To be able to know that God is not going to impute my iniquities and hold them against me in the future. Because the salvation that He gave me, not only did it eradicate my past sins, that God's that salvation is alive and it's real, and it helps me day by day to try to resist those temptations and those sins and those things that come upon us on a daily basis, to try to resist those things. And I'm telling you what, folks, we cannot do that without the leadership and the help of the Spirit of God. Amen. There's not a single one of us that is strong enough to resist the temptations of Satan without the power of the Spirit of God within us. I've told you the old story, but we've got new young ones here and visitors, and I'll tell the old story again because it's still true. It was true the first time I told it, probably 30 years ago. And that's the story of when the missionary went out into the Indian villages here when America was first founded, and there was a great frontier. And they went out, and as the missionaries preached, there was an old chief that believed the gospel. And he believed to the salvation of his soul. And about a year or so later, that same missionary came back through that Indian village. That old chief was there and he talked to him and he said, how is it with you now that you've been saved? And the answer from the old chief was that it's like two dogs that are within me. One black and one white, and they're constantly fighting at each other. The white dog wanting to do good and the black dog wanting to do bad, and they're constantly fighting to each other. And the old missionary said, and which one of them wins? And the chief said, whichever one I feed the most. Whichever one grows the strongest. That is our lot as Christians in this life, is that there is a good in us. That only good that's in us comes from God. That Holy Spirit that's within us. But there is an evil nature within each of us, which is Paul refers to as the carnal nature, which wants its way. It's going to want to do its way. And we have the only way to overcome that is through that good that's within us, which is only placed there by the Spirit of God, but it can only be strong enough if we feed it and allow it to grow strong within us. And so the stronger that we feed that Spirit within us, the more that we allow that Spirit to have control of us, the more that that Spirit is able to keep this carnal nature in check. And it will be a constant fight through this life. But you can get stronger. Your faith can increase. You can draw nearer to God and become stronger. And the battle is a lot more successful. And it's a lot easier fought if we draw near to God and allow Him to fight that battle for us rather than fight it ourselves. And so I'm thankful for that. I'm blessed. I'm blessed to have that struggle. I'm blessed that I have a struggle at all, because without God, I wouldn't have a struggle. I would just do what the flesh wanted to do and not worry about it. That's the way the majority of the people go. They never think about God. They never worry about God. They never try to do what God wants them to do. And even if they try, they're unsuccessful unless God dwells in their heart. And so we are truly blessed to have had spiritual ancestors who have passed this down to us and kept it alive. I am blessed. I am blessed to have lived in this nation of America, to live in this free country that was founded upon religious principles of freedom to worship God as our hearts dictate. Folks, many of us that are born in this country, we don't realize how wonderful that it is to be in a free nation. There are still many nations upon this face of this earth where you are not free to worship as you see fit. That you will be persecuted physically. That your properties will be taken. That you will suffer at the hands of the government, even if you try to worship as your heart dictates. It is a great blessing to be born in America. It is a great blessing to have had godly ancestors who came over from the Netherlands and from England and from other places where they suffered persecution, to have been able to come to this country and to worship God as their heart dictated, and to found this country upon those principles, upon the principles that all men are created equal, and that God is our creator. They didn't back away from the fact that we were all subject unto the creator of this universe. What a wonderful free nation that we enjoy. I am thankful for that. And I can tell you that what a little bit of traveling that I've been able to do over the years has made me appreciate America more. It grieves my heart as I see some of the direction that we're going and some of the things that are happening in our nation. But I believe, I truly believe that if God's people who are called by His name will humble their hearts, repent of their sins, because it needs to start with us, God's people, repent of our sins and call upon Him, I still believe God will heal this nation and it can turn. That it can turn, it can once again be truly a Christian nation, one in which that God is honored in our public places, that our schools might once again be able to teach the Ten Commandments. What on earth is wrong with the Ten Commandments that people rejected? I just heard on the news this week of some guy that was arrested. I think it was in Alabama. I'm not sure. It might have been Arkansas. Some guy was arrested because they just put a monument out in front of the courthouse that had the Ten Commandments on it, and he went in and tore it up. Because he didn't want to live under those Ten Commandments. He thought his rights and privileges were being infringed upon. Come to find out, he'd done the same thing in another state. And so my prayer is that this nation will turn back to God, and that once again, that those moral commandments, and that's what they are, they're just simply to give us moral guidelines, but that one great commandment in the beginning, "Thou shalt have no other God before me." That's the one that if people will listen to, if people will let their heart be drawn to God, God will, as I said during the revival, that God will draw us to Jesus Christ, whereby that we might be reconciled to Him. That is the privilege to live in a country where that message can be preached and where that we have the freedom to go and to listen to it and to respond to it without fear of persecution or prosecution from our government. I'm thankful. I am blessed to have had godly parents. I am blessed. If you had godly parents who took you to church, or grandparents that took you to church, you are blessed. And it's something that you need to be thankful for. The streets are filled with people and with children whose parents never take them to church, who never in their home is the name of God spoken, to where they're never taught about the moral uprightness of the character of God, let alone to be carried to church where they can hear the gospel. And in this nation, this God-blessed nation, there are thousands and millions of children growing up who have never or never will set foot inside of a church because their parents failed in their responsibility. And it is our responsibility as parents to make sure that our children are brought up in the nurture and admonition of God. I'm thankful that my parents made me go to church even when I didn't want to. I'm thankful that in our home that a blessing was said before the meal. I'm thankful that I was able to grow up with parents who talked about God, who, when I come to the age of accountability, talk to me about my own salvation. I'm thankful that they took me to a church where that I saw with my own eyes people gather around the altar as a family and pray for the souls of their loved ones. I'm thankful that I heard saints stand up and testify of how blessed that they were because God had saved their soul. And they get filled with the Spirit of God. And some would shout and some would cry. But I got to see the manifestation of that Spirit, of that Spirit of God that lived within them, overflow. That's what David said. He said that his cup overflowed. It overflowed with the blessings of God. And what a privilege. What a privilege to have grown up and been able to see those things with my own eyes, hear them with my ears, and experience them so that when I got further down the road, and I did get further down the road, even after the Lord saved me when I was 13, I got to be like most young men when I got to be about 16 or 17. I wanted to do my own thing. And so I began to pull away from the Lord. And as I got out and got in college, I pulled even further away. And so as many who wander and drift away, even after God has saved them, I went down that pathway of rebellion. But there's one thing that I never escaped all of those years. I never escaped it. And that is that God cast into my heart, and the rod, His rod was upon me, and I felt that pain as God chastened me because of the direction that I was going. I didn't realize it at the time, but I certainly know now. He did that because He loved me. He did that because He wanted me to turn from that direction, that it was going to have an effect upon me, upon my future family, and upon my future children if I did not get back to where I needed to be with Him. I got married. Had a wonderful job, had a beautiful wife, had kids, had a home, had a couple of cars, had all the things everybody works for, but I was miserable. I was miserable. And the reason I was miserable was because I was not where I needed to be with God. I was like David. I was like the same David. Many years down the road, after he had committed a sin with Bathsheba, and committed adultery, after he committed murder to kill her husband that he might try to cover up his sin, I didn't do any of those things, but still I was not where I needed to be with God. And David said in the 51st Psalm, he said that that the sorrow that was upon him was greater than he could bear, and he went to God and asked God to forgive him and to restore the joy of his salvation. He didn't ask God to save him again. God had already saved him and delivered him, but he was not where he needed to be, and he needed the joy of his salvation returned. And I was down that same pathway. I was down that same road. I had everything that a young man could want and a bright future in front of me, but I was miserable. And the reason I was miserable was because I was not where I was when I was 13 years old, when God saved me, and I felt that great joy in my heart and that peace that passeth all understanding. I had let it be overshadowed by that darkness that is within our human nature. I snuffed out that Holy Spirit. I quenched Him. Rather than let Him grow and increase inside of me, I quenched Him and let that darkness overshadow that light. And you know what it took? It took the same thing for me that it took for David in that 51st Psalm when he went back to God and repented to God and said, God, please forgive me. I've sinned against You and You only. Please restore the joy of my salvation. And God heard his cry and He restored the joy of His salvation. And I can take you to the time, and I can take you to the place where that happened to me when I was 31 years old, down in my basement with my wife and my kids upstairs. And I got down in the same condition that David did, and I cried out, God, please forgive me and restore the joy of my salvation. And He did. He did that. And so I'm blessed. I am blessed to have known that I had an access back to God to restore the joy of my salvation. I'm blessed to have had godly parents. I'm blessed to have a wife that God saved. She wasn't saved when we got married. But I'm thankful that He saved her, and our life became different. Our life became different because that together we served the Lord. Together we brought our children up. I'm just about done, folks. Together we brought our children up in church. Together we tried to teach them about God. We sat around our table when we'd eat supper, and we talked about God. We talked about the things in the Bible. That was normal conversation in our family. We had a long drive to church, almost 50 miles out there, winding West Virginia Road. But God blessed us that when our children became of age, God saved their souls. And we got to see our children saved. Today we have 8 grandchildren. And I can tell you this morning, we are still blessed because our children are in church this morning. Our son is probably preaching at Dover right now. He's probably done. They start earlier than we do. And my daughter and my son-in-law and my grandchildren from them are in church at Maple Grove. What a blessing to have your posterity to be able to serve the Lord in a free country and to teach their children about God. I am blessed. I am blessed. And no matter what sickness racks this body, no matter how much my mind goes and I can't remember my own name, let alone someone else's, no matter what comes upon me, I am blessed because the salvation that God gave me is eternal. He secured it for me. He keeps it for me. That I might obtain it when this life passes, and it's reserved in heaven for me. I'm blessed. And I pray this morning that you are blessed. But if you've not been blessed by that great salvation, I encourage you to call upon the Lord. Seek Him while, as David said, while He's near. While He's near. Now that tells me that even David recognized that there were times that God was near and times when that He wasn't. And so if He's dealing with your heart, that's when He's near. And David said, call upon Him. Call upon Him while He is near, that He might hear from heaven and answer that prayer. If we've got a song, I'll leave that message with you. I want to thank Brother Ken for requesting that song, because I guess it was that one thing that changed my mind as I struggled, even as I come through the door this morning and said, Lord, I don't know which way You want me to go. I've got all this prepared that I've studied, but I'm willing to go another way. And I'm thankful that God turned my heart, and I'm hopeful this morning that whatever was said had a purpose for someone here this morning. Go ahead.